Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 17 is the text this morning. You shall not murder. In the original language, that's just one word, and it's a very short command. You shall not murder. You don't have to go very far, do you, to get stories about murder. I went back and just went through a few of our newspapers, the Hutchinson News. Michael McDermott stands in Malden District Court during his arraignment Wednesday in Malden, Massachusetts. McDermott of Haverhill, Mass., an employee at Edgewater Technology in nearby Wakefield, was arraigned in connection with the Tuesday shooting deaths of 7 of his co-workers. Rejecting defense attorneys' pleas for leniency and Story Gotti's repeated assertions of his innocence, Reno County District Court Judge Richard Rome Friday instead doubled the maximum sentence and ordered Gotti to prison for almost 7 years in connection with the 1998 death of a 2-year-old boy. The smiling face in Reginald Carr's high school yearbook gives no hint of the troubled young man who would later embark on a life of crime. The annual shows Carr with his class and as a member of the freshman football team at Dodge City High School in 1993. 7 years later, 4 of which Carr, now 23, spent in prison, he and his 20-year-old brother, Jonathan Carr, are suspects in a quadruple murder in Wichita, recently in the news. A Ulysses man charged with the kidnapping, attempted rape, and attempted murder of a 16-year-old Syracuse girl succeeded Wednesday in having his trial moved out of Hamilton County. And on the other side of the page is an update on the murder story, which is ongoing, of John Benet Ramsey. And then in the Friday paper of January 5th, on the page that has to do with entertainment, great new movie about murder and cannibalism. Great stuff, eh? You shall not murder. That's the text. And it is an amazing commentary on our culture and society when on almost every front page of our daily newspapers, there's some sort of story that has to do with violence and rape and murder. You shall not murder. At the head of the outline in our bulletin, I have this statement. You shall not murder highlights sinful anger and hatred. It reveals your need, it reveals my need too, to seek God's love to fill your heart, our hearts. And I think that's the bottom line in our text this morning as we once again look at a text in Deuteronomy which is quoted in the New Testament and this text quoted several times in the New Testament. The commandment, you shall not murder, prohibits all premeditated acts resulting in the loss of life of another. Now, I think that we have to get this basic understanding of the commandment under our belts, Because what usually happens with each of us is that we want to go to the more difficult circumstances first without getting the basic precept in our understanding. And the basic precept is simply this: you shall not murder means that we are forbidden to enter into any act in a premeditated fashion that results in the loss of the life of another human being. And we can draw some distinctions here. For example, in an accidental death, in a death in an automobile accident or something like that, in which an individual is killed, it's classified both in the public domain and in Scripture as manslaughter. And in the Old Testament, there were very specific guidelines. Cities were set aside in the Old Testament economy. Six cities were to be set aside in Israel, so-called cities of refuge. And if an individual, the example, or one of the examples given in the Old Testament, is that if an individual is out in the forest cutting wood with a friend, and the head of the axe comes off of the handle and strikes the friend in the head or someplace else so that that friend dies, the individual was to be able to go to the so-called city of refuge for protection because others might want to see that his life is taken as recompense for the loss of the life of this individual in this accident. And that's a vengeful spirit, where there is premeditated murder, the cities of refuge were of no avail. Individuals who were guilty of murder were to be taken out of the cities of refuge and put to death. That was the penalty for murder. And in many states in the United States, the penalty for murder remains the death penalty. And I would submit to you that this is the proper penalty. That is another subject, however. Now, it's very interesting as we look at Scripture that hatred and anger are intimately associated with murder. And this is the case both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Please turn with me in Deuteronomy to chapter 19, if you would. And chapter 19 talks about the cities of refuge and makes the distinction between murder and manslaughter. And I want you to see how in the Old Testament the ideas of sinful anger and hatred come out in this text, in addition to making this distinction that I've already mentioned. Deuteronomy 19 and verse 1. When the Lord your God cuts off the nations whose land the Lord your God gives you, and you dispossess them and settle in their cities and in their houses, you shall set aside three cities for yourself in the midst of your land, which the Lord your God gives you to possess. You shall prepare the roads for yourself and divide into three parts the territory of your land, which the Lord your God will give you as a possession, so that any manslayer may flee there. Now, this is the case of the manslayer who may flee there and live. When he kills a friend unintentionally, not hating him previously. You see, the idea of the killing unintentionally without hatred being involved, without there being some sort of premeditation. Verse 5, as when a man goes into a forest and his friend with his friend to cut wood, and his hand swings the axe to cut down the tree, and the iron head slips off the handle and strikes his friend so that he dies, he may flee to one of these cities and live. Otherwise, the avenger of blood might pursue the manslayer in the heat of his anger. See the idea here now. Hatred and anger, and overtake him because the way is long, and take his life, though he was not deserving of death, since he had not hated him previously. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall set aside three cities for yourself. If the Lord your God enlarges your territory, just as he has sworn to your fathers, and gives you all the land which he promised to give your fathers, if you carefully observe all this commandment, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to walk in his ways always, then you shall add three more cities for yourself besides these three. So innocent blood will not be shed in the midst of your land, which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance, and blood guiltiness be on you. But if there is a man who hates his neighbor and lies in wait for him and rises up against him and strikes him so that he dies and he flees to one of these cities, then the elders of his city shall send and take him from there and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood that he may die. You shall not pity him, but you shall purge the blood of the innocent from Israel that it may go well with you. Murder is the premeditated taking of human life. Several years ago, a sister of one of the ladies in our congregation in Mineola, Kansas, was in the hospital in Hutchinson. And I was visiting this elderly lady, and I got a call saying, the doctor has removed all food and water. A premeditated act which would have resulted in the death of this dear lady. I went to the hospital. And I went to the hospital for the specific purpose of talking with the doctors to ensure that these basic necessities of life would be restored. And I was glad when I got to the hospital that another physician had intervened already and had restored these life-giving necessities. It would have been murder. And it does come close to home, does it not? We are, in our culture and society, this month celebrating the anniversary, I shouldn't say celebrating, because it ought not to be a celebration, but it is the anniversary of the Supreme Court decision which has allowed abortion on demand in our nation. And the murdering of millions of unborn infants. Murder. The premeditated acts which result in the loss of human life, the taking of human life. On the back of your bulletin, we have the larger catechism exposition of the sixth commandment. Drop down to the bottom of the page. What are the sins forbidden in the sixth commandment? The sins forbidden in the sixth commandment are all taking away of life of ourselves. So the sixth commandment forbids self-murder, suicide. All taking away of the life of ourselves or of others, except in cases of public justice. In other words, the proper execution of individuals who have committed a crime worthy of the penalty of death, and they are brought to that penalty through and by a proper procedure of justice. Except in cases of public justice, lawful war, or necessary defense, the neglecting or withdrawing the lawful necessary means of preservation of life. Okay. Here was the circumstance in the hospital to which I just alluded. Sinful anger, hatred, envy, desire of revenge, all excessive passions, distracting cares, immoderate use, this is a good one, isn't it? Immoderate use of meat, drink, labor, recreation. Immoderate use of food and drink, of work, of recreation. Why? It shortens life. That's one of the points. All excessive passions, well, dropping down again, provoking words, oppression, quarreling, striking, wounding, and whatsoever else tends to the destruction of the life of any. You shall not murder. It covers a lot of ground, doesn't it? And we need to understand that it covers a lot of ground. And in the background, undergirding the commandment, is the idea of sinful anger and hatred, and that comes out both in Scripture and it comes out rightfully, it seems to me, in the larger catechism. Now, you can go back and look at the positive side. There's always a positive side, and the positive side we will get to this morning as we proceed. But I say again, hatred falls under the category of the commandment, you shall not murder. And please look with me at a couple of other texts. In the book of Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and this time Leviticus 19 and verses 17 and 18. We're looking at several different texts because we're looking at the meaning of this commandment. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 17 and 18. You shall not hate your fellow countrymen in your heart. Good morning, friends. You shall not hate your fellow countrymen in your heart. You may surely reprove your neighbor, but you shall not incur sin because of him. In other words, You can correct me. And I invite that. You can correct me. You can correct one another. But there's a difference between correcting one another and bearing hatred and animosity in your hearts toward one another. Verse 18, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. We are to move out of the mode of hatred and a disposition of heart, an inclination of heart, which is at enmity with one another. We are to move out of such a disposition toward a disposition of love. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. We are to move from hatred to love. And that's one of the things that the commandment reveals to us, the necessity of this. Now, the very idea of vengeance here and holding a grudge is rather interesting, it seems to me. As some of you know, I have been on a committee in our presbytery in which I have had the dubious privilege of working with another congregation where there have been some there have been some struggles, let's put it that way. And to my astonishment, the word came back to me that certain parties involved in the controversy were keeping all of the correspondence and all of the reports and all of the records, which amounted to hundreds of letters and hundreds of pieces of email. And the report was, we are keeping this material to show to our children so they will understand how we were treated in this situation. You shall not murder. You shall not bear hatred in your heart against your brother. You shall not bear a grudge and have a vengeful spirit. That's the commandment. Go to the New Testament now. And 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15. Notice the connection. The Apostle John, who is known as the Apostle of Love, notice the connection he makes. Verse 15. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. It could not be more explicit. Hatred born in the heart against another individual in the church is murder. That's what John's telling us. And I'm just giving it to you. Not only is hatred that which falls under the category of you shall not murder, but sinful anger also falls under the category of murder. Please turn in the Gospel now, the Gospel of Matthew, to Matthew chapter 5. Now this is one of the places where the text in Deuteronomy is quoted. Matthew chapter 5 and verses 21 and 22. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Now, I've not made much of it here, but we could very well talk about the fact that the Ten Commandments, and you shall not murder is part of the Ten Commandments, we could talk about the fact that the Ten Commandments are the rules of the kingdom, the laws of the kingdom. And the Sermon on the Mount is also in the New Testament, the law of the kingdom given by Jesus. And Jesus brings home that Old Testament prescription more fully. He brings it home in depth. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. And whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. You shall not murder. Jesus says, sinful anger, that which precipitates murder, is a violation of the commandment. And he gives some examples of how this sinful anger might come out. Whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, you empty-headed individual, what seems to be your problem? That's really the meaning of the word. Have you got no sense? You see, and there's some venom attached to it. Or we might characterize, Jesus says, an individual as a fool. You fool. Well, there's a specific meaning to this word, this term. Scripturally, what it means is the unbeliever. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And it is not the prerogative of those of us within the pale of the visible church to be going around and making judgments about other individuals within the church that they are outside the kingdom and calling them fools. There are procedures that are to be used. And Jesus says, if sinful anger and hatred dominate life, we are the ones that are in trouble. And that's part of what we need to understand. You shall not murder. And to attack others with a vengeful heart and hatred and animosity is a betrayal of our own hearts and our own heart condition. And Jesus says it. Anyone who is in this circumstance is, what does he say? Look at verse 22 again in Matthew 5. But I say to you, if anyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, and whoever says you fool shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. See, it's dangerous territory. And we just read from 1 John chapter 3. Go back to 1 John, if you would, please. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15, where the Apostle John connects hatred and murder. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. So there you have it. And so, if you just look down the outline with me for a moment, the commandment, you shall not murder, prohibits all premeditated acts resulting in the loss of the life of another. Hatred falls under the category of the commandment, you shall not murder. Sinful anger also falls under the commandment, you shall not murder. If sinful anger and hatred dominate your life, you are outside God's kingdom. That's the indictment of the Word of God. If there is enmity in your heart against God and His commandments in this fashion, and there is enmity in your heart against others who are part of the kingdom of God, watch out. That's what the Bible's telling us. And there's another place where the commandment is quoted. It's James chapter 2. Look at James chapter 2 with me. James chapter 2. Verses 10 and 11. James 2, 10 and 11. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point has become guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. Now if you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, and do it with sinful anger and hatred, you have become a transgressor of the law. Guilty as charged. There we are, you say. When I was in the chaplaincy and had an encounter with a young man standing out in the middle of a rice paddy, he was asking me about this commandment because he wanted to know. After being in a firefight, what about me, chaplain? No murderer has eternal life, the Bible says. And so we had to talk about that conflict. And part of what was so pronounced in the mind and heart of this particular young man was the absence of hatred and anger with regard to that enemy over there. And of course, it was an entirely different situation in war. And the Catechism speaks about war, except in that time of war. And this young man did kill. And that's what troubled him. But as I say again, what was so pronounced was the absence of hatred, the absence of anger and a vengeful spirit. Well, what's the solution? There's only one solution, folks. Go to God. Oh, God, forgive me of my violations of this commandment, you shall not murder, in my hatred and sinful anger, and cleanse me of that sinfulness and work in my heart. Forgive me, O God, on the basis of what Jesus Christ has done. Forgive me. And pour your love out in my heart by the Holy Spirit given to me. Change my inner attitude and disposition. Pour your love into my heart. Two texts, quickly. 1 John chapter 4. Verses 19 and 20. We love because He first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. We need the forgiveness of God, and we need God to pour His love out into our hearts and change us. And then there's that text that was read earlier from Romans, the 13th chapter. And it's another quotation of this commandment, you shall not murder. Romans 13. You see, the answer is the love of God. That's the answer. And the only way that that love is going to come is by God pouring it out in our hearts. We love because He first loved us. We must be changed. Romans chapter 13. Owe nothing one to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. If there is any other commandment, it is to be summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. May God pour His love into your heart. May God pour His love into my heart. Seek the forgiveness of God for hatred and sinful anger as it crops up in your life. Violations of the commandment, you shall not murder. Ask God to pour His Spirit into your heart and give you His love and renew you. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. That's the opposite of this commandment before us in Deuteronomy. You shall not commit murder. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Forgive us each one of our sins. Grant us your grace. Pour your love out in our hearts and remove from us animosity, hatred, enmity. Grant it, O God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.